Okay, we are here with the 2018 Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series champion and driver of the number
right you are.
22, Joe Penzoil Ford. That's Joey Logano. Joey, congratulations. And has it sunk in yet? Talk about
being
a champion.
It's just, man, it's incredible what goes through your mind and how it feels to be able to cross the start finish line. You're able to take the lead, and you know there's quite a few laps left. And as you get closer, you know, five laps, four laps, you're counting them down. You're like, oh, I just want to take the white flag to where you know the caution comes out. We got it. And it really felt a lot like my first win in Pocono and kind of that same thing, because how big that first win was to me. And once you get that first win, your goal changes to winning a championship. And I remember those laps there, and my foot would shake on the way down to put the throttle down, and my foot kept shaking, and started doing that again. I was like, "Oh my goodness, it's been so hard and such a long road to get here, and been so close, and had that feeling of defeat, and man, it stings, it hurts a lot, and the last thing you want is to have that feeling again, you know. But yeah, I felt so confident going into this week that we were the car to beat. And I felt like, you know, after winning Martinsville, it put us in the spot to really focus in on this race. And we did. We built a great race car, you know, that was able to be good on the short runs. It wasn't a long run race car, that's for sure, but a 20-lap car, it was that for sure. And my race team, I wasn't worried about them at all. And I knew I just had to do my job, and everyone's going to do their job, and everything was going to be fine. Either way, everything was going to be fine, but I felt confident and relaxed that today was going to be a good day.
Tremendous. Thank you, Joey. We'll open up to questions. We'll start up here with Greg, and then move around the room.
Hey, Joey. Congratulations. Greg Engelotto week. I know it's got to be a great feeling, but did Martinsville at all flash back to you in those laps when you and Truex were running pretty close together? And I know there was a little bit of contact. Do you have time to think of that kind of stuff? That maybe, he could end this right here? Or did you guys work it out well enough that you knew that nothing like that's going to happen?
Well, you never know, right? You never know. But honestly, as a competitor, you have to keep that stuff in your mind. Everyone says, you know, put it out of your mind, but you have to think about it. You know, you have to make the right decisions and be smart about how we were going to race each other. And he raced me hard. He raced me the same way that I would have raced him. You know, we ran each other hard and tried to, but it was nothing dirty, you know. Everything was fine. So I thought the three competitors that I was going against this week, you know, it was maybe one of the coolest parts about this whole thing is that we went up against the best of the best. No one was in there by accident, you know, and to beat the best, I guess that's what makes this championship feel so good. And I told my interior guy, Daniel Lynch, when I got in the car, I said, I'm getting in as a driver and getting out as a champion. And we were able to do that, so what a great feeling.
So Jerry?
Jerry Jordan, Kick'em Tires, .net, and PRN. On the final lap, when you were coming to the checkered flag, yeah, I've got your radio recorded, and you were pretty calm the whole last 15 laps, didn't say anything, let out a huge yell as you crossed the checkered flag, you know, got the checkered flag. But what was going through your mind as you were, you know, going that, taking the checkered flag and then going through the cool-down lap there?
Hey, you're just doing your job, you know, and you're just trying to maintain that intensity and be perfect. You know, that's what you're trying to do. And it's funny, TJ, my spotter, he's usually pretty relaxed. He doesn't really get too fired. Even in Martinsville, when we were coming across the line, he never stopped. You know, he just kept spotting and he's relaxed and all. And I could tell in his voice, he was getting excited. You know, it was ramping up as we were going, and I was getting excited. And, you know, man, it's just right around the corner. And I tell you, it was incredible. It's just, it takes us the whole team to do this, you know, and you think about everyone that's at the shop that built this thing, and the heart that everyone's put into it, and the time away from their families, and what a motor! I didn't even talk about Roush Yates. What a motor! And putting Penzoil on it too, man. That thing was hot. We were in that thing hot, and she survived. I was nervous about it. That was something. So proud of the effort that. I guess I should be talking more than Team Penske, because it's the effort that all our partners put into it, not just not just what you see at the racetrack or what you see at the race shop, but what you see from the development center, from the oil, from the motor shop with Roush Yates to, you know, our marketing department and bringing the dollars to pay for all this. You know, everybody is just, it's a team win for everyone. And I know it sounds so cliche, but man, it really is. It's just that it takes an army to do this. And, you know, you think about the team that Roger Penske's put together from the top, and with Cindric and Mike Nelson and Travis Geisler leading the group and hiring the right people and building a great race team and building it stronger and stronger. I couldn't be more proud of those guys. And a lot of things happen before it gets to me, you know. A lot of big decisions are made, but before the driver even knows what's going on a lot of times. So, yeah, they should be super proud of themselves, which I'm sure they are. But what a great race team from the top down.
Go to Bob.
Bob Packer, ESPN. Joe, you said long road to here, you know, 10 years in the Cup Series. When did you go from the driver who people could push around to the fearless driver you are today?
Oh, you tell me. You know, honestly, you know, I guess I just felt like that. Just I'm back to where I was growing up. You know, as a kid growing up, I was an aggressive racer, and I was able to win a lot of races. And I got humbled pretty quick. I guess humbled is a word. I don't know. I got beat up. I got pushed around a lot. I wasn't fast. I didn't have no respect. And you know, that I think beats up on your confidence pretty quickly. And you have to, you know, kind of dig back inside. And every sport's a mental sport, so you have to really figure out how to be strong again and dig out of holes. And you know, I said it after the race in one of the interviews, but the opportunity to make mistakes is one of the best things that can ever happen to you. And I made a lot of mistakes in front of all of you, and things I shouldn't say or whatever it was, but there's no regrets either, because that's formed me to the man I am today. And if it wasn't for each and every one of those mistakes, I wouldn't be sitting here today. So, and I wouldn't have the people around me either that has surrounded me. So God teaches you many lessons sometimes the hard way, but I wouldn't take any of them back. Even if we didn't win today, I wouldn't.
Go ahead, Jacob.
Jacob Seelman, Speed Sport. Two for you, Joey. First, Thursday during media day, you said you were the favorite. You called your shot and you backed it up. What was it that, through all of this, all week, has made you so sure that this was going to be the final outcome?
You know, I think there's quite a few things. You know, you can't just be confident and say it, because then it's just kind of BS, right? You have to believe it inside. And you know, I think a lot. I see my family sitting over there, and the support that they give me and pump me up sometimes when I am feeling down. I'm still human. You know, I'm the first one to look inside before I look outward, and so I'll beat myself up pretty quick. But I do know that we've been here before. You know, I kept telling myself that, and it's funny. The other night, with our management team, Clutch, Noah Gregson and Cole Custer are drivers as well in there. And I was talking to both of them, and my wife, we were driving from the Comcast Community Champion Award to Exeter Racetrack, and I called Cole, and we were talking back and forth. And I looked over, my wife was recording what I was saying, because she wanted me to hear what I was saying, because I was telling them to be relaxed and that this is going to be good. And no matter what, you know, today, win or lose, you become a stronger man at the end of the day. When you put yourself in high pressure situations, you find more out of yourself than you know that's there. And I think that move at the end of the race shows it, that, you know, you refuse to lose. You really do. Because I know how much it hurts to finish second. So just a crazy thing to do that. But you honestly need to preach to yourself sometimes. And I do that as much as I can, and to our race team, because we didn't have a reason to not feel confident. We really didn't. We've executed under high-pressure situations before, and we've been here before and done a great job. My pit crew was incredible, so I had everyone around me. I just had to go do my job, and the hard part was kind of over. Plus, all you guys thought we were an underdog. I didn't think that, but most everyone did. So maybe someone wants some money in Vegas.
And Roger was in here earlier and talked about how you've matured as a driver and a person since joining Team Penske. Talk a little bit about both what he's meant to your career, and then you mentioned your family as well, how they've changed your perspective as you've...
I think, you know, you eventually got to grow up, right? It doesn't mean I can't have fun. You know, I still enjoy a lot of things, but, you know, to first off drive for Roger Penske, it's what an amazing opportunity. You know, quite a few years ago, I knew being with someone like that, you can't lose because he's a winner. And you want to surround yourself with winners all the way through. And, you know, some of the best advice my dad's taught me is to surround yourself with people smarter than you. And that's pretty easy for me, actually, but I might not be the smartest one here, but I sure look good and I have the right people around me. And that's not just my race team, but that's my family all the way through. Because, like I said, there's a lot of support that goes back and forth, and a lot of things behind the scenes that not everybody here gets to know about or to see and in preparation for this, because this isn't something that I take lightly going into a race weekend. You know, there's a lot that I study and look into, and there's a lot that everybody's, you know, each individual on our race team goes through to prepare, and they got to have a support group as well. You know, we talk about my family a lot, but, you know, this is a long, grueling season. You guys know. You guys come to almost every race. Most of you do. You know it. Jenna's shaking her head. It's funny. We're good. We're just laughing. Anyways, but if you think about the amount of time you take away from your family and how hard that is and how stressful it is and missing things with your kids and missing baseball games or whatever it may be, hockey games, whatever it, you know, graduations, things like that. This is a commitment. This is a long season. This is not easy to do. So I think everybody, you know, has a great, you know, backing from their family. My wife just did the Penske Ladies Night Out, which she does a great job honoring everybody that puts in all that time, and they have a good time for a night too. So it's it takes an army.
Zach,
behind you, bud. Zach Atanzuetti, KickingTheTires.net. You just spoke about your family. Obviously, it seemed like a very family-like atmosphere on the stage with your father there and Brittany and Hudson. You put Hudson inside the trophy. It looked like you guys had a great time. I mean, with everything that comes with the championship and that celebration, what was that moment like?
Yeah, have fun with it, you know, and... You know, when you see the people you love the most, I think that's when you break down the most. You know, you think about, you know, how much they were there for you all the way through. And through the good times and the bad times, they were there. And to celebrate that moment with them is so special. And, you know, the things that go through your mind and you think about that moment at Christmas morning when I walked out into the garage and saw a go-kart in there. And that was the beginning. That was it. All I wanted to do was drive from there out. And my goal was to be a NASCAR champion. And it took so many years and so many people and so much commitment from everybody to do it. So all that stuff goes through your mind. So when you see them, you want everyone to party with you, you know, and celebrate and be there. So just it's hard to put it into words, the way you feel at that moment.
Holly?
Holly Kane, NASCAR Wire Service. Joey, I ask Roger and Todd this question as well, but is there any extra satisfaction in winning in the way you did? It's the first time in the playoffs that the four championship drivers have finished 1, 2, 3, 4. So, I mean, you really had to beat those three to get the win today. The four of you dominated the whole race.
Yeah, and they're the best for a reason, right? They didn't make mistakes. They all found ways to maximize their finish. You know, with some different strategies from the 18, you know, that put them in the spot to possibly win the race. So it's just so many different things that happen. But yeah, we raced the best and we beat the best today.
Go here to Kelly.
Kelly Crandall, racer.com. So Joey, the numbers are going to say you had a top 4 year, but maybe to some you've kind of been either overlooked or underestimated, the underdog, whatever you want to say. So explain why this is not an upset in a sense, and when did you feel like it, or at what point in the season did you feel like you went from being fourth best to having a shot at this championship?
You know, I think, honestly, my wife can probably vouch for this as well, as we talk about things a lot, but I really, 20 weeks ago, didn't think, I thought, man, if we get to round the eight, that's pretty good this year, you know, for where we were at the time. You know, we were consistent. That's what kept us up in the points all year long. We didn't have many bad races throughout the season. But I guess just as the playoffs went, everyone rose to the occasion. You know, when everyone picked it up, we talk about it at playoff media day before the season starts, and I always talk about how you have to find another little bit inside of you to just maintain when the playoff starts, because everyone's able to get a little bit better. And then as we do that, we started running better, and we're running top fives, we're running stages, and I'm like, oh, you know, so we're in a decent spot here. You know, I think throughout the playoffs, I don't know, you guys probably know me, but I don't think anyone scored more points than us throughout the playoffs. Am I right or am I wrong?
That is correct.
I'm right?
Oh. That is correct.
Oh, that sounds good. Good. I'm glad I didn't say something stupid there. but, you know, but it goes to show that we executed under pressure, not just today or the last five races, but the last 10 really is when I felt like we got a shot at this thing, and probably the last seven or so was when I felt like we had a great shot, to answer your question.
Tip?
Deb Williams, RacingToday.com. Joy, over here. To go back to something you said a few minutes ago about walking out in the garage on Christmas morning and seeing the go-kart and it was on TV, you mentioned that being a NASCAR champion had been your dream since childhood. When people ask you what you wanted to be, that was what you told them. What age did that start?
When I was about six. So yeah, that was it. I mean, every day I went to school, you know, you dressed up what you wanted to be, and I'd say a race car driver. And in Connecticut, that wasn't really a popular thing, so it was a little odd, but that's what I wanted to do. And to be able to bring a championship to Connecticut, a NASCAR championship to Connecticut, how cool is that? Has anyone ever done that?
No. You're the first.
That's pretty neat. So maybe we made a lot of race fans in Connecticut. There's a lot of New England race fans. So as a New Englander, it means a lot to me to be able to do that.
So why NASCAR? Why not open wheel or something like that?
I love it. Just love stock car racing. It's, to me, my favorite form of racing. It's most exciting to watch. It's what attracted me as a kid. You know, it's what was on TV all the time on Sundays. And I was the race fan. I had all the Hot Wheels. I had all the, you know, the cards and all that. So, you know, to still be a fan at heart, but to be doing it, it's crazy.
Okay, we'll go to Caleb, Jim, Hugo, and then Brian.
Caleb was kicking the tires out. Now, you talked about kind of the age of six, getting the go-kart, and then having aspirations to become a cup champion. Kind of what advice would you give that younger self, knowing what you know now?
Honestly, one of my favorite quotes is having the opportunity to make mistakes could be the best opportunity you ever have. And, you know, not everyone gets to drive a race car, and not everyone gets to make a mistake in a race car and learn from it and become better and have another opportunity to make a new mistake. No one has that. Not everyone has that. So not no one, but a lot of people don't have that opportunity. So that's probably one of my biggest pieces of advice, and to enjoy every minute of it, because not everyone gets to push a race car to its limits, whether it's in the local level or here in the top level. Not everyone gets to drive as fast as they can without going to jail, you know what I mean? And that's, I got a badass job, and I remind myself that, you know, even if we didn't win today, I know how blessed I am. It's crazy to think that, you know, I'm living out my dream. And, you know, when we do a lot of stuff with the foundation, and to be able to see a lot of these families that are just dealt a bad card, you know, and how they're still positive and able to fight through. We met an amazing family last night, and the little girl just got through brain cancer, and her mom lost her job because she was taking care of her kid. That's real life. That happens. And I guess to me, to think that I get to drive a race car for a living, sometimes it just seems kind of crazy.
Jim?
Jim Utter, motorsport.com. A lot of us here were introduced to you actually before we ever saw you by people talking about you like Mark Martin and so forth, and to keep our eye out for you. And you came in with a lot of accolades and probably a lot of expectations and got thrust into the Cup Series early at JGR. How hard was it at some point to not maybe live up to expectations that, rightly or wrongly, people kind of put on your shoulders? And then after that, is there some sweet satisfaction in that actually maybe some people who gave up on you, you still end up on top?
I don't know about the satisfaction piece, but to answer how hard it was, yeah, it's really hard because, you know, you come in with so much hype and you're expected to win right off the bat. You know, and if it wasn't for the hype, I wouldn't have the job anyway. So I don't think it's a bad thing in any way. But I expected to go out there and win as well, and just got my butt handed to me on a platter. it's hard. There's a lot of times that, you know, I felt really weak, and you know, I'd break down, and it was hard. You know, when you're confused, you don't know how to be better. You're 18 years old, or 19, or 20. I mean, it's some pretty big stuff for a teenager to be able to go through. Sitting up here, talking to you guys, trying to handle all those situations. I didn't know what I was doing. I still don't really know what I'm doing, but just have a better idea of it, I guess. But it was really hard. But like I said, it makes you stronger in so many different ways. And even if I'm not a race car driver anymore, there's so many lessons that I've learned from being in this sport and being around you guys and in our garage and being around so many smart people. I'm able to take so many great lessons out of it. So, you know, at the time that I was losing my job at Gibbs, that was a pretty low point for me. And I don't think I think as clearly as I do now, thinking about all the lessons I learned. I was thinking about, oh my gosh, I'm not going to be a race car driver anymore, and what am I going to do with my life? And this is awful. And next thing you know, there's a 22 car, and Roger Penske, and Todd Gordon, and an amazing race team all the way through that wants you to drive. Oh my goodness, you know, I guess like God works in some mysterious ways sometimes, and it's really worked out well for me.
Hugo.
Good evening, Hugo Katas, autoweb.cz. In the final stage of the race, we could see that Martin was a little bit faster than you, and then suddenly after the final pit stop, you were the fastest. What did make you better for the final 15 laps? Was it strategy or different setting of the car? What was that?
What did Todd say earlier? Are you guys in here? What did he say? Whatever he did, whatever he did made it faster. you know, like I said, our car was good for a short run, and it was like that all night. And I'd say he made some good adjustments there, the last one, to allow the car to be even faster on a short run, that's what really paid off. So I guess as part of the strategy, I guess he made some good changes, and it worked out.
Brian.
Brian Eberle, Motorsports Tribune. Joey, you kind of touched on it a bit with Connecticut not really being a racing hotbed, so to speak. How much more difficult did that make it for you to get here where you are today, and what sort of reactions are you expecting from Middletown?
I can't wait to go back. We have a trip planned here pretty soon to go up there, so man, it's going to be a lot of fun. I think the reaction is going to be great. I think it's going to be a lot of fun to be able to bring a NASCAR championship to Middletown, Connecticut, of all places, right? Just, I don't know who'd ever thought that. So, it means a lot, you know, to be able to do that. And was it harder? Not really. Like I said, there's a lot of racing up there. Modifieds are huge up there. I raced at Silver City Quarter Midget Club and in Meriden, Connecticut. That's where I started. And Kavana knows. Look, he's laughing back there. He knows. He's the same place. He's a little older than me, though, so we didn't race each other. But
you were probably better. He's even older than
Dave's birthday. Today's your birthday? No kidding. Well, happy birthday.
Thanks for
this is, yeah. Well, happy birthday, Utter. Man, any other birthdays we want to celebrate today? No? Is everyone going to start singing next? Did they get you a cake at least? No? Anyways, that part is pretty neat to me. And it wasn't much more challenging there than anywhere else.
Go to Dustin, then open the press box into Tom.
Dustin Long, NBC Sports. A couple things I want to check. First off, one thing is the comment you made to Dan before the race. Is that something that you normally say something back and forth? Where did that come from?
I just pumped up, man. I was pretty jacked up. I was pretty jacked up since this morning. I don't know. You have a routine, and I know ways to bring myself to another level now, just as I've been around and how I get myself to feel that competitive vibe and get to that level that you need to be at to compete for a championship. And I was just there, you know, you feel it, you feel like you're in that mode. And, you know, I knew it was on the line, you know, it's not like you forget about it. You know, you like to think it's just another race, but you're racing for a championship. It's all or nothing, you know, and I guess I just felt like I had myself where I needed to be, and I honestly felt that.
And you've talked about your path and certainly the challenges in your Cup career, but to leave here in 14, to leave here particularly in 16, I mean, those, and obviously even 15, for as good as you were, not to have that opportunity, the gut punches that those were, do those go away? How did those, how painful were those, and how does one bounce back? Because for some, those can be devastating blows.
Yeah, they hurt. They hurt a lot. and when you think it's over, you got to go to the banquet and watch somebody else give the championship speech. And then it hurts again. But it's motivation to me. I try to find the positives in everything in life. There's too much negative in our world sometimes. And when you're able to just look at situations, there's always a silver lining in there. You just got to look for it. Sometimes it's hard to find it because it's easy for us to dwell on the bad stuff. But once you get past that and you look at what can make you stronger, I guess that's what it is, you know, and it makes you not want to feel that again. You know, it's almost like the fear of losing, you know, is bigger than the want to win sometimes, you know, and that's, I guess that's the way I think, but I hate that feeling, you know. Winning is sometimes just what you feel like you're supposed to do, and losing hurts a lot.
Go up to the press box.
Yeah, Chris Knight, CatchFence.com. Joey Penzoil has been involved in the sport for nearly 30 years and have been associated with champion drivers such as Kurt Busch and Kevin Harvick, and they've won prestigious races, including your Daytona 500, but never won a championship. You delivered that for them today. How special is that?
That's incredible. I did not know that. But yeah, just like I said earlier, the amount of resources that Penzoil puts into this and Shell does, it's second to none. It really is. It's not just a marketing point. You know that we say we use it in our car, and it's, you know, using your car and all that. It's true though. That is honestly the oil we run is built from the engineers and working with Roush Yates and the Penzoil engineers as well, and everyone's figuring out what we need, because not only we want to make power, but we want reliability, and we want to do it at a really hot temperature. Those are the goals that we're trying to reach with the development of our engines and oil as well. So to have a partnership that's not just from the marketing side, but it's from the racing side of things as well, is what a cool partner, and it makes it authentic for me to talk about. That's why it's so easy for me to talk about, because it's true.
Anything else in the press box? Once, twice in the box. Okay, we'll wrap it up. Over here on the right to Tom Bowles.
Tom Bowles, Front Stretch, and Connecticut.
Man.
So I believe, Joey, you're the first driver to miss the playoffs the season before and then come back and win the championship, I think. So I wanted to know what that experience taught you, and was there ever a point where you thought you were going to lose Todd with the way driver crew chief turnover was during that difficult season? Can you just kind of take us back to how you came from there and those difficulties to be here now?
Yeah, I say it really wasn't the talk at all last year. We just thought that we had a very challenging year, and there's a lot of lessons we needed to learn, and we got stubborn and stuck in our ways, and we felt like this is what worked because we almost won the championship the year before, and we were the fastest car down here, and we should have won, and all this stuff, and then you go to the next season and you get spanked, you know? And it's just to take a step back and say, okay, we need to kind of think things over. And you know, the rebound started maybe about four or five races before the playoffs last year. And it's been a slow but steady climb back to now the top. It's just so crazy to think. But, you know, we dropped like an elevator, and we took the flight of stairs back up to the top, man. It's just, to be able to do that and fighting together with the whole race team, not just the two of us, but all the way through. And you make a little gain here, make a little gain here, make a little gain there. All of a sudden, man, we're champions the next year. What a fight.
Joey Logano, you are the 2018 Monster Energy Series NASCAR champion.
Damn right we are.
Thanks for all the time. Enjoy the celebration.
Thank you.
And get that speech ready for Vegas.
All right.